When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast. Oh my God, it's a semi-hostful intro. Mm. But this time, it's a Matt instead of a Jonah.
What?
Swash, swash, swash.
Hey guys, go fuck yourselves. I'm Jonah.
Classic.
Just
Jonah.
Kidding, I'm Matt.
Aw.
Someone was just saying on the Reddit the other day, I miss Matt.
Oh, I miss them too.
And I said, there was a little bit of skepticism as to your schedule. And I was like, guys, we are all doing the best we can.
Skepticism as far as what?
They're like, can he really be that busy? And they're like,
yeah.
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 Yeah. I've been telling people you're dead.
Yeah. Why would you
Listen,
do that?
Because it makes it cooler when I come back.
Yeah. Because that's true. Like an urban legend thing.
Catholicism's
like
built
Myra,
on.
The Hop Rocks
Eventually,
and soda.
Someone comes back from the dead.
Well, the sponsor for this episode
did you
is.
Make yourself a messiah there.
Sure did.
Wow. So, question about that complex that's going on there. But. This episode is Corey Taylor from Slipknot, who I didn't know before. And one of our bookers, Debbie, was like, you gotta have Corey on. He's really great. And I was like, okay. And he was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
He was awesome.
Might be one of my favorite guests we've ever had.
He was super funny and just like mega nerd.
Knows his action figures.
He knows his action figures, and he's a good, solid dude. Slipknot's new album, Point Five, The Gray Chapter, is out now. And they just had their festival that we
Not Fest.
Where they couldn't
Not Fest.
They couldn't burn the poop.
You can't burn poop at a festival.
They were going to have that be a scent.
Poop.
It was going to be a dong
thing.
Donkey poop was going to be burning as so you could enjoy that for the festival, but the town said no.
Oh well. So everything but that.
Yeah, everything but that went pretty well.
Yeah, I'm very, very, very happy to. And now that I know what a great guy he is, he will definitely be back on the podcast at some point, whenever he feels like it, I guess.
Yeah,
maybe he can come on and talk about Master Chief Jr. with us.
That is a different thing again, Matt. It's not at all.
Oh,
what you're it's you have a different idea about
I do
what that
love
is.
The Slipknots, though.
No, that's it's just Slipknot.
They're slipping
There's
on
no
nuts.
No,
they're the Slipknots.
They're not the Slipknots.
You're slip nuts at this
yeah,
point. Too.
Slipping on nuts.
No, they don't. No, you're now that's just that's like a bad improv
it's an
group.
Old Conan bit.
Slipknots.
Slipknots.
is that where you slip on nutshells or?
That's exactly what they do in the Conan bit. The Slipknots. John Glazer, Shear is in it, I think. They did Sketchfest a couple
okay,
years ago.
Okay, well, I
missed the way you derailed
now,
this show, man.
Now that we've drifted into a real thing.
Yeah. It was a real thing the whole time. No one else got my reference except
me. No, it was
me.
Good. Well, okay. It was
a couple of people at home probably
Gordon
enjoyed
Ramsay
it.
Thing wasn't a
Listen,
real thing.
If you enjoyed my Slipknots reference, tweet me with hashtag Slipknots, yes.
And that was Matt Myra, who will be able to resurface the podcast in another couple of months. God damn it.
Well.
More hostfuls.
Listen, I'm around.
Great! Let's do this!
Schedule them!
I do!
No, you
busy.
Schedule Corey Taylor!
No!
And what a delight he was!
It was great! You couldn't have done it at that time. Every time I ask you if you can do the podcast, you're like, I got too much shit to write for your show.
Well, it's true. Well, the New York...
I gotta write now hashtags!
Now that the New York stuff is... now that we'll be out of the New York crosshairs, I think.
Yeah, now New York, we'll get through New York, and which will be super fun.
We'll get through it together.
Have that extra load of work.
Yeah.
All right. More hostfuls coming soon, but right now, Corey Taylor, Nerds Podcast number 591. Roll the thing!
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Wrong number?
Yeah, I have no idea who that was. I tried to get off the phone. Yeah. I just wouldn't let it.
Telemarketers.
How's it going?
All right.
Thank you. I know you just flew in and came straight to
this. I wasn't missing this.
What? Where were you?
Just in Vegas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We have a house in Vegas and a house in Des Moines, so I just kind of bounce back and forth.
You could not have two more opposite environments.
You'd think.
Really?
You'd think. Yeah, but my wife's family is based out of Vegas. And then I still have a house in Des Moines because my son still lives there and my grandma lives there. So we just kind of hop back and forth, you know, and it just makes sense. We stay as far from the strip as humanly possible. It's ridiculous.
I know our listeners in Vegas get really annoyed when we presuppose that Vegas is really just the strip.
Yeah,
that there are
much more Burbank than it is strip, yeah, to be honest. Because it's very flat, you know, and it's like a lot of suburbs and a lot of box communities.
Hot as fuck.
Yeah. Yo, you ain't kidding.
And one of my favorite punk rock bars, the Double Down Saloon.
Yes. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, like, never been there without seeing a brawl.
That's probably I could back that. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. What is it about the Double Down Saloon?
It's just a fucking...
Sweat. Let's put it that way. Yeah. It's pretty oogie.
It's just, you know, it's just this rundown dive bar that, like, punks and metalheads kind of took over.
Yeah.
And it's, every time I've been there. One time I saw a band playing, and then one of the guys in the band kicked, like, a table, and then a big fight started to break out with the band and the guy. And then more people jumped in. And then there was this guy sitting at the bar with his friend, and he notices the brawl going on, and he gets up kind of calmly and then goes to pick up a chair and starts to bring the chair up. And then the guy he was sitting with, like, sees him and runs in front of him going, like, what are you doing? What are you? And the guy kind of shrugs and goes, like, I don't know, you're right, and puts the chair down.
It's kind of like the dude who's, like, he's uncomfortable. He wants to get in the pit and mosh.
Yeah,
so he kind of, you know, he's stretching out.
Yeah,
and it's like, and then...
No,
the right song. And then the ballad hits, and they're like, you know what? I'll wait.
I want to get in this bar fight. I better stretch out my quads make sure. One sec, guys. I'll be right there. I just got to.
I don't want to tear some.
Yeah. It's all the pre breakdancing moves, just the kind of skipping around, and then the na na na. Kind of back it up.
I think all the things that Vegas is very famous for are the things that I actually don't like about Vegas.
Yeah.
But I have been off the strip quite a few times, and you're right, it is just like a nice,
it's pretty chill,
know, little,
yeah,
nice,
it's really hikes. Cool.
But it is you can tell that, much like, you know, where you could throw a rock and hit 10 actors in Los Angeles. It's the same, like, you when you get off the strip, you're like, Bouncer, yep. Dancer, yep. Dancer, dealer, probably.
Like, the dancers can wear their camouflage all they want. We know that it's because it's always this. It's the same juicy sweatpants.
Yes.
Yeah. They're always pulling the carry-on bag. And
you can't hide those French tips.
Yeah. And there's some kind of torn shirt that's just off the shoulder. You know? It's like you're either doing laundry or you're on your way to work.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Am I the only person that does not find French tip nails sexy in any way? Like, I just like a...
Scary.
Yeah, a little scary.
There's some Nosferatu going. There's some Max Schreck. Like, if Max Schreck was in drag, that's what he'd look like.
Come in. Look at these tits.
Take it, me. Give me a dollar.
Do not touch me.
I agree with the French tips. Because it makes everything that you do with your hands impossible.
Right.
There's a lot of this.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of clicking.
Gross.
Yeah, it's like, who needs 10 styluses on their fingers trying to work?
Wait a minute. Oh. French tip capacitive stylus is a great idea.
Whoa. With Bluetooth.
Yes.
Write it down.
Of course.
Bet there's a fetish.
You know what I'm actually surprised we don't have yet is that scene in Total Recall where the girl, like, kept poking her nails.
Yeah.
And then they start they change colors.
Yeah.
I'm surprised we don't have...
They do on Photoshop.
Yeah, no, I understand that, Jonah. I mean IRL, you dick.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
They have bigger rounder butts on Photoshop as well.
What is occupying most of your time these days? Is the Knotfest taking over?
Yeah. I mean, it's getting down to the wire now. So it's, we're doing rehearsals. Albums, you know, it's the promo for it is really going well. So we're stoked about that. We're stoked about the excitement for, you know, all of the songs that we've been kind of releasing here and there to just build excitement for it. I just saw pictures of the ridiculous set that we're doing. Oh my God, dude. It's If somebody doesn't crack their skull completely open the first day, second day, it's definitely happening. It's like, so I'm like, you know what? It's like, I could cover on the first day, but you know what? I'm just going to go and bet on day two that someone's going to walk away with a gaping head wound.
What made you decide this was an undertaking that you wanted to, because it's a pain in the ass just to put on one show.
Oh, yeah.
So how long is the festival?
It's honestly, technically it's 3 days, but we're headlining two.
Okay.
We're doing a pre-weekend party on Friday that Sid, our DJs, I think is going to spin at and do some stuff. But we got bands that are actually playing that night. And then the actual, everything starts Saturday and Sunday. So we headline one night and then the second night. And it's essentially like, I don't know if you know what it, like Download in England.
Yeah.
We were kind of trying to recreate that, you know, because we've got camping, we've got RVs like set up, and we sold passes for that with like 3 day like weekend passes. And we've got rides, we've got fire eaters, we've got this thing that's called, what is that thing? The fire dome. Is it the terror dome? With wrestlers inside of it. Like, nice. It's ridiculous. It's like Mad Max meets the WWE. Like, it looks ridiculous, right? I just saw pictures, and I was like, we need it.
Want it.
We've got that.
Now, are the rides really safe, Corey?
No, God, no. No, these rides make they make like a normal carnival seem like Six Flags.
Yeah. These third tier we're bringing in
one that is actually from the Iowa State Fair, and we all kind of grew up going to the Iowa State Fair, and the one ride that we all looked forward to riding because we knew it would make us sick was this thing called the Ring of Fire. And all it is really is just it's a perpetual roller coaster, basically. That's all it does.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
So we're bringing that in, you know, to encourage. Like, if selling booze and fried foods wasn't enough, you're throwing up on this ride.
Yeah.
So
it's in the movie Big. They have that ride in the movie Big.
Yeah. It's just a circle. Yeah, that's all it is. And then it stops at the top. Yeah. So you're like,
afterwards, it's like, you know, 40 people got thrown off the Ring of Fire at KnotFest. And other people go, Yeah, exactly.
It works.
Why did you sign a waiver?
And yeah, exactly. You know what you're getting into. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of really cool stuff that, you know, and because we want to make it exciting. You know, it seems like people put on festivals these days, and it's just kind of the same run of the mill. You know, mediocre. Like, here's your bands. There's 1,000 of them. There's 9 different stages. Oh, by the way, all 12 of the bands that you want to see are all playing at the same time.
Yeah,
and you're just like, really, you know? So we wanted to shake it up. It's like, if you're waiting for a band to, you know, that you want to see, you can go check out the rides, or, you know, we have I think we're doing a rappelling line.
Oh, nice.
Which is really cool. I'm actually going to go do that because I really want to do that. So I mean, we're just trying to make something cool for us, you know, for the metal fans, for the hard rock fans, you know.
Yeah. Is this going to be an annual event, do you think?
I don't know. I mean, people keep asking, like, they ask me that. They ask me if it's going to be a tour, and I think it'd be closer to like an annual event, you know, where we can do it in like 3 or 4 different cities, you know, give us time that we can move everything there so everyone gets to experience it. When you make it a tour, then you're limiting yourself. There's only so much you can bring with you because it's going to be, you know, it's so not cost effective to, you know, bring all that crap with you. So I think if we make it a destination, like different, like bigger cities, you know, and just make it different cities every year, then it might make it a little more exciting.
That's pretty cool.
So it's like a Ren Fair for thrashers.
Basically, yeah. And I encourage everyone to wear their poet shirts. But please, no crows, all right? Every time somebody dresses as the crow, and it's bad. I'm quoting South Park, I apologize.
They bring a crow and peck someone's face off. It's very difficult to train a crow. Please stop trying to...
Yes, you don't have that much time.
Yeah.
Okay, you can bring a falcon, fine. It's the sport of kings, fine.
But the crow, come on.
The crow is, you just
let it go.
You're crossing lines here.
Yeah, you're not reincarnated.
Don't be ridiculous.
So you grew up in Iowa then, is this true?
For the most part, yeah.
And then at what point did you decide, I can get out of here and do other stuff.
Oh, I tried that. I've moved away from Des Moines so many different times. It's not even funny. Like, and moved to bigger cities thinking they had better music scenes, right? So I was like, oh, it's great. I'll start a band here. And it was always terrible. Like, I can't... Denver in 95 was one of the worst music scenes I'd ever seen in my life.
Still is. Denver's kind of famously really bad.
It's not good. It's either like this weird goth EDM thing or like a really healthy country scene.
Yeah.
I couldn't find my spot in there, you know? I was like,
couldn't bridge that gap.
And nothing's really changed in 20 years either. Yeah. So.
Rednecks, that band, huge there.
Yeah. Rednecks and goths.
They bridge the gap.
Huge. Or you can go to Boulder and play in your flip flops all night.
Yeah,
you
know? That's jam area.
This is great.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm gonna throw flowers at your face. So I moved around. I moved away a lot, and I just kept coming back to Des Moines. It's weird, you know. So, call it whatever. I mean, to be honest, there were so many strikes against Slipknot to begin with that. I mean, no one's more surprised by our success than we are. And that's the truth. I mean, nine dudes in masks, coveralls, playing crazy heavy metal music from Iowa. Oh, yeah, you can draw that up on a play, and that's going to go. There's no way, you know? So we were convinced that we were just going to be like a lifestyle band, you know? We'd maybe sell 200,000. We'd be able to afford to go out and tour. Yeah. And then we went platinum, then we went double platinum, and then by the time Iowa came out, it was approaching 3, and we're like, what is going on?
Come on, like, people, what are you doing?
Who's poking us? It was ridiculous. So, yeah, man, I mean, it's weird how you start out, it's like you want to make music, but you have this idea of the type of music you want to make, and then it completely goes 180, and it's like, wow, this is not the stuff that I... Because the stuff that I write is usually more Stone Sour side of it. With Slipknot, I really get to do so many different things that, I mean, there's no limit to it.
Yeah.
How much of it do you think, I mean, obviously, were you freaked out by the success at all? Like, oh shit, we can't fuck this up. Or because obviously at a certain point, do you have to make the choice between, well, I really want to write this kind of song, but I think the Slipknot audience would probably prefer this kind of song, so I kind of got to service that.
Well, it's funny. That's honestly one of the reasons why I ended up putting Stone Sour back together, because that was my band before Slipknot in Des Moines. So, we had done the first Slipknot album, then we did Iowa, and I was just like, man, I want to do some other stuff, you know? I mean, and it was really supposed to be a side thing, you know, that we would do and have fun with it. And then that got even more serious. But I think that showed that, I think that opened a whole other audience to what Slipknot could do. And maybe we weren't comfortable to do yet, you know?
Yeah.
And that kind of encouraged us to do Volume 3. But I mean, there's really no limits with this band, you know? And that's one of the cool things about, like, this new album. There's so many different, like, it sounds like us, but we're branching out in so many different areas that, I mean, there's one tune that starts out and you're like, where is this going? And then it completely goes somewhere else.
Nice.
And we can get away with it because our fans know to expect the unexpected now.
Yeah, that's always the best, when you can get to a place where it's like, I think, like, there's something like band like Weezer was never able to, like, figure out, where it's like they wanted to go off, and at first the fans didn't let them, and now they've been trying to chase that, and then they kind of get confused of what their sound is, where it's like, you know, when, like, people just, like, put their trust in, it's like, I like these guys, and I like what they're doing, and I'll trust if they do something different, it's because they want to do it, and that's great.
I mean, we dedicated ourselves to the idea that if we were gonna get together and put something out and call it Slipknot music, that it was going to be quality. Yeah. It's not just about quantity; it's about quality, you know. So, and I think the fans realize that, even with all the ups and downs that we've had, they know if we put something out and we're getting behind it, they're like, okay, what's it going to sound like?
Yeah,
because you just never know with us.
Are you getting radio? Are there radio stations now that service your audience?
There's still a pretty healthy active rock radio chart, I guess. Yeah. And
satellite radio has a couple.
Satellite, it's definitely, that's our realm. You know, between Octane and Liquid Metal, I mean, you get a lot of play on there. But then, I mean, some of our older stuff's getting played on, like, 90s at 9.
I think so.
Wait and Bleed! That was Wait and Bleed, and here's I said, what about Breakfast at Tiffany's? I'm like, where did that come from?
Classic 90s.
That was back in my head.
Yeah.
How could you do
that?
Like,
you know, you've made it.
Yeah.
I had forgotten all about that song. God damn it.
How could you?
Yeah, well.
Well, I
just nothing in common.
Well, it's funny because it's like that's the same thing where like it's like, you know, you have it's like it's
no, but wait, I'm not done with that yet.
I'd rather
so the
you
whole
stop.
Premise of that goddamn song is that it's two people who should not be together.
Yeah.
And by the way, the vocalization that he's chosen for the song is like a 1930s cinematic carnival barker.
Hello.
Hello. And I said, oh, what about
that? That's very Al Jolson.
In this song. And so they, is that supposed to be a comedy song? Like, oh, they both like this movie, so that's their common ground.
Oof.
If one thing can keep these two lovebirds together,
it's a racist performance.
It's
by
very
Mickey
racist
Rooney.
Performance by
no,
Mickey Rooney.
The guy performs one time in blackface, and then
it's cursed for life.
Sure, fine. Okay, you don't like the blackface, but what about Breakfast at Tiffany's?
That's whiteface. That's a whiteface
that's
performance.
A whiteface
Come on.
Jesus.
Okay, I'm sorry, I cut you off. I was very upset about
I can't remember what we were talking about.
I can't remember anything before.
Oh, radio.
Yeah. But it's funny because it's like now that it's like it's 90s, now that it's like, you know, 20 years or whatever, like gone, you could play like a Slipknot song right next to like Breakfast at Tiffany's where it's like, and that's like weird to us because we were there. But like if I'm listening to like a 60s station, they play Led Zeppelin right after like Sonny and Cher. You just go, okay.
You're like, Jack FM. It's basically the shuffling of our music culture where we came out of genres and albums and we just became a singles culture.
Yeah.
Even like, oldies radio is saying like the best from the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s and beyond.
Yeah.
Well, what's beyond that? What, 82?
82, 83.
What's the cutoff?
The world ended after 89. Yeah. It's like, that's all you get.
Also, like the oldies hosts now, too. It's like they have to act like they were still young. Like, yeah, I remember.
Oh, yeah. I remember Madonna when Seeger played the sports arena.
Yeah.
I was
already 70.
Well, they still, I mean, what's great is that all the different decades on Sirius XM, the jocks basically have the persona that they had. So that like the 70s guys kind of like
the nice guys. Here we are.
Yeah, and then you know, and then the new wave is Richard Blade. I mean, it's everyone. Yeah. Everyone's got the. It's really
and then the MTV VJs just sound like they're stoked, but they're not. You know, it's just like, is Nina Blackwood.
Yeah.
And, I love her, but she just said she's just like. I can't wait to cut this together so I can go smoke another four cigarettes.
Exactly. Ricky Rackman still sounds stoked every time I hear him.
Well, he still loves the music though.
Yeah, him and like, Pinfield too.
Yeah.
Pinfield.
Oh yeah.
Oh, Pinfield was like that guy. I worked at MTV with Pinfield.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that guy was, you know,
encyclopedia,
like,
uber geek. Yeah.
Crazy music. I mean, like he was kind of the internet before the internet.
Yeah,
in terms of music.
Well, it's crazy. He like it's like I've listened to interviews of him, and he reminds me also of like Rollins and even Dr. Demento, where it's just these guys that just go like it's like, oh yeah, that record came out in 1972 when it was on the B side. Was you know they could
An
just
encyclopedic memory.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's crazy. Oh God, you mentioned Dr. Demento. I grew up listening to every Sunday on on Westwood One radio.
Yeah,
and they would play it in when I was living in Waterloo, Iowa. So it was like the best 2 hours of my life.
Demento. So
Demento.
When is Slipknot needs to cover Fish Heads? I think.
No, you know what? We need to cover.
Kick of the Clown. Kick of the Clown.
No, I already did a cover of that. Actually.
Oh, did you? Really?
Yeah, I did that a long time ago, and that's our outro music for Stone Sour.
Oh, perfect.
And it's really, really weird.
Yeah.
There's this. We looped this kid saying "Tow, tow, tow." So creepy. I've always thought that Slipknot should cover three songs. One, Singapore by Tom Waits.
Right.
Yeah. Two. Oh my God! What the hell is the name of this song? It's T-Bone.
Existential.
Existential Blues.
Existential Blues is an amazing song.
It's, some girl with psychic powers. She said, "T-Bone, what's your song?" So ridiculous.
Yeah, that was on the Dr. Demento 20th anniversary collection.
It.
Yeah,
I
was obsessed with that. I remember, I heard that song and I wanted to learn how to play guitar just so I could make weird songs like that. Where it's like he goes, he's like, it's all really random, and then he ends up going in and telling the story of Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, I was on a quest. I was trying to find the little people all around me, dude. It's insane.
Puppies.
And they
said that he recorded that like in like one take.
No, I'm
like, there's no way.
Yeah,
there's no way, dude.
Ugh.
It's insane.
That
it's
should
all
be
all acoustic. It's him and an acoustic guitar, and then just them playing with these crazy vocal effects.
Yeah, I always liked Bill Frenzer did Dead Puppies.
Yes.
Kinko the Clown.
Yeah,
but I fucking love Dead Puppies so much because it builds to this ridiculous crescendo. Yeah. It's like Dead Puppies. It's like a fucking chorus.
Yeah, yeah. Just taking the silliest idea to the biggest extreme.
It has the best line in it too. It's like, "Mom says puppy's days are through. She's going to throw him in the stew. Dead puppies aren't much fun." I'm like, that's the darkest shit you could play for a fucking 10-year-old.
They don't come when you call. They don't chase balls at all. Squirrels aren't much of.
Here's a fun fact.
What was your third before your fun fact? You said you were going to cover three songs.
Oh, I can't think.
Okay, what's your fun fact then?
Okay, fun fact. Tiny Tim used to live at the Holiday Inn in Des Moines, Iowa. He lived there for like 30 years.
What?
Yeah. He had the penthouse in this Holiday Inn.
Holiday Inns have penthouses?
They ripped it down. Yeah, the Holiday Inn used to be a big deal. I don't know if you guys lived in the fucking 70s. Just show my age. Staying at a Holiday Inn and eating at a Perkins. That was a big deal.
Perkins!
The Buttermilk Five.
Oh, Perkins!
Bottomless cups of coffee.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You know, Perkins by day, Bennigan's by night. That's how I like to live.
I love it. That's a good time.
A little breakfast Perkins.
Every once in a while, you hit a Baker Square for some pie.
If it's late, you know, like if it's late. You want to.
Yeah. I need to take the edge off this caffeine. I'm just going to have like two pieces of French silk. Shove it into my face as hard as I can.
I did the grossest thing once at a Perkins. It was a bunch of us. We're at a show in Greenville, North Carolina. And then like we went to a Perkins after.
As you do.
Yeah. And then like it's just a real post show. Kind of everyone's kind of sweaty and, you know. And we're all like eating a ton of carbs and shit. And then like there was like some cute girls at a table across the way. And I told the waitress to send them like a bowl of cherries. And then like I had one of the cherries, and then like when they looked over, they're like, "Hey!" And then I like crushed one of the cherries while staring at them.
Were these girls of legal age?
I wasn't even of age. I was 17.
What was the situation? Struggling.
Yeah.
What message was?
I don't know.
I know the obvious one.
I didn't really think about it at the time. I was still a virgin. I was fucking 17, like fat girl. There's a faggot going,
"Please help me."
And then their faces were just, "Ugh."
So as the cops were taking you
away. Yeah. I'm just a kid. I look like a man.
But
these days, you'd get a pink card for that.
Yeah.
You don't want that.
No, exactly.
What a great story had it been if you had lost your virginity at a Perkins in Greenville, North Carolina.
Yeah, that would actually have been better.
I mean, but everywhere you go, I mean, like, you know, when I used to do the college circuit, it's every town has become the same town now. It's just the same. It's the same little honeycomb of, you know, Walmart, Applebee's, Pizza, Taco Bell, Starbucks.
Like every town's a business park now. Has the same vibe.
There's a random Chick-fil-A in there somewhere.
Yeah, usually.
Yeah.
But they're building something behind it. It's like, this is good. We're going to get a lot of business once that hotel opens.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like when a new place opens up and there's a line down the block.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
What cities are gems on the road for you where you're like, I never would have discovered this place if I hadn't been in a band, had been touring.
Oh, man. The weird thing is that, you know, for the first six years of my career, it was just bars. I just remembered bars. Like, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, in Kansas City, we go to the Hurricane, and they'll give us free drinks till like, whatever. But then once I quit drinking and I, you know, kind of started getting, you know, my shit back together, now I remember all of the comic shops. So it's like, oh yeah, in Cleveland, right around the house, there's a really cool crusty one. Because I collect old action figures as well.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, so
it's always good to have like a when you're on the road.
But then by the end of the tour, you just have crates of shit.
Yeah,
like I'm the modern day. Never mind.
Forgetter guy.
Yeah.
Modern day forgetter guy.
Yes. As you can see, the Crestor is killing my memory. Yeah.
And you say you quit drinking.
I apologize.
And then you get all this stuff on the road, and then you get back home, and you're like, oh, now I got to figure out where to
find a place. But I have 50 moving boxes from U-Haul. Stuffed with action figures that I've been collecting since 92, basically. And they go all the way back. Like, I've got some super old ones. My coup was the first year I went to Comic-Con. I was like, there's two things I need to find. And the one was the Godzilla that they released with the Shogun Warriors. Found that like that. I was like, yes. And the box wasn't very damaged. And it still had the tongue, still had the fist. Nice. I couldn't believe it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Little switch in the back. Yeah.
That don't look anything like the new one, but that's fine. And then the Alien figure that Kenner released in like 79-80. And it was actually a complete set. It had the poster in it. Like, I was kind of shitting balls. I was like, that's an holy shit. Because I was going to buy one if it was just loose.
And they had the whole thing?
Had the whole thing.
Oh, nice.
But the thing about that thing is it doesn't hold up because the arms, they kind of get into this area now.
Oh, right. The flabby.
Stiffness. It's like, oh, that's great. It's a fucking marionette.
Yeah.
If I put some strings on it, I could do a little puppet show.
Have you tried like tweaking it and like?
I don't want to. I'll break it.
Yeah.
And if I leave it anywhere near my son, he'll tear the head off of it. And he's 12, so I'm worried. I'm really worried about.
Again, with the head tearing off. Oh,
hey, son, you got a lot of dead birds there today. I see. It's real good, kiddo.
He had this thing though, like because we're both kind of in like the same shit, and I started buying him action figures when he was about 6 or 7, you know. But he would always rip the freaking heads off. Sure. I'm like, why? And he's like, well, I don't want to look at him.
What are you going to do to him?
So there's Iron Man, headless. Cap, headless. Wolverine, headless. I'm just like, well, where are the heads? He's like, "That you don't need to know."
Oh, no.
I'm like, we're screwed. He doesn't have a college fund. He has bail money. Yeah. That's what he has. So, I'm just kidding, Griff. I love you.
Please stop tearing the heads.
No, I mean, you know, so with cities... To kind of circle back there, the tangent went a little long. I have a lot of cities that I love to visit because now I have a lot of friends there. You know, we've been touring professionally for 15 years.
Wow.
And so I got a lot of, you know, there are people who still come to the shows from way back in the day.
Oh, nice.
You know, so we go out of our way to hook them up. I mean, not just in the States, but Tokyo, we've got great friends. We've got wonderful friends in like all over England. Glasgow, there's a couple of dudes that live in Glasgow. To this day, I don't know their names, but when I see them, I'm like, oh, we're going to have fun.
Yeah.
Because you got to get through that Scottish accent.
It's hard.
Which in a club is easy because if it's too loud, you just go, what?
Yeah.
Because you didn't catch it anyway. Even if there was no noise going on, there's no way.
It's a couple like, tries.
So I just pretend that I'm a little more deaf than I actually am.
Yeah. But you said Tokyo really quick. Did you, in Tokyo, have you ever been to that that robot show bar?
No, I haven't. I have not yet.
Yes.
But I'm hoping to go this time because we're actually going over there. We're doing two Knot Fest shows over there.
Nice. Oh, wow.
I'm really going to do. Yeah, we're really kind of starting to build a brand, you know? And we book those before we book the ones here in the States.
Oh, man.
So it's, you know, we're really stoked about that. There's a couple of like hidden action figure shops not too far from Roppongi that are really rad. And I'm talking about, it's just a room, you know, there's nothing behind it in the building. There's nothing out front. There's a glass facade. You walk in and you're literally like, it's three walls, but it's loaded with crazy stuff. Fuck. And those people have the most fucked up action figures I've ever seen.
The Japanese?
Oh, yeah.
<It's weird>. What?
Pshaw, you say? No, I remember the first time I took my son to see some of this stuff, and it was like, we weren't even in Japan. We were at like Harrods in London, right? So I'm like, let's go check out the, you know, the action figures. They had a whole Japanese like anime section. And Griff's like, why can I see their panties? And I'm like, I don't know.
Because the world is rad?
But then you go to London.
Oh, that'd be my first guess.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And it's like, and they were really nice panties. I'll be honest.
Did your son look at them and go, their heads will come off real nicely?
It's like, so go play with the Legos. No. Just go play with the Legos.
Those are supposed to come off.
Yeah.
It's on the coffee table, Kyle. Kyle's got to grab a book.
So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different cities I love to play. Just because, and not just because of the cities, but just because I know I'm going to see some, like, rad people there. Yeah.
And at this point in the career, you kind of, you're not, like, day after day. So you have, like, a day before or after, right?
Yeah, I mean, I learned my limitations pretty early. We did one run on the first album cycle where it was like 21 days straight.
Oy.
Yeah.
And you're wearing so much.
Oh, yeah, you're in the gear. You know, yeah. It's like, there'd be days when I wake up and it was literally like, you got nothing in the tank, but you got to do the show, you know?
And so. I wonder, like, it's like, and like, not to be too grim, but like, you know, with, two guys from Gwar, like after 30 years of playing, like they both kind of died similarly. Like, they're both sitting up, one was in a van, one was at home, Odorous was at home. And like, do you think that maybe the outfits and night after night and like sweating within an outfit, like, has something?
Maybe.
Like,
I mean, you know, the thing that we realized early was that, you know, when you're sweating, you got so much crazy filth. I mean, I'll spare you the details, but when you're doing all of that night after night, it's very important that you make sure everything gets washed correctly, you know, because one of my friends caught, he developed hepatitis because of that.
No way.
Because things weren't getting cleaned properly, or he was weird and just, you know, it's like, it's bad luck to wash it, like a baseball player or something. But he developed something like that. And he was just like, you know what? It was the worst thing. I mean, he's okay now. He's got to take medication for it. But it was just like, you know, so we learned early on that if we want that kind of longevity, we have to make sure that A, we take care of ourselves. B, we take care of the stuff that we're actually putting on our bodies. And we just kind of look out for one another, you know? So, I mean, it's a very physical show, but at the same time, after a show, it's like, you okay? I was like,
yeah.
Because I passed out on stage in Dallas on Mayhem, and I went down hard. Like, it was heat exhaustion. I blacked out for like the last 45 minutes of the show.
Oh, fuck.
And then I finished the show. I have no recollection of finishing the show. But then I stepped off my check me out box and I went down hard, like, boom. I woke up backstage thinking that we'd had to cut the show short.
Oh, yeah. Weird.
Like, it was that weird.
Yeah.
But everyone from the band was around me. Like, everyone was there. It's like, you okay? You okay? You know, it's just like, take your time. Just, you know, so there's that kind of looking out for each other.
You know?
Plus, I exercise and train and like, I try to take care of myself now, especially now.
Was getting sober kind of part of like the, like, taking
a little
it
bit,
all?
Yeah. I mean, because it definitely makes you take a look at just not only what you want to do in life, but how you want to do it, you know? So once I kind of realized that I had a problem and, you know, kind of, you know, left that behind, I was like, okay, well, who am I without it?
Yeah.
You know? And I was like, well, I'm a dad. I'm a writer. I'm a singer. I'm also, holy shit. I was, at the time I was over 200 pounds.
Jesus. Jeez. Really?
Yeah. It was bad.
Cause you're in fantastic shape now.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, that was when I was 30. I'm in better shape now than when I was 30.
I am too.
Wow. Right?
Same
it's
thing.
Weird. It's crazy.
Same reasons.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard though, but once you get into
this, is the six pack curl doesn't give you a lot of
the Jack Daniel's skull crusher. And I mean two of them. Like, it was bad, but you know, it's you do it at first because you need to, and then you continue to do it because you want to. You know,
well,
and
I think
then it just gets easier.
You know, it's amazing how. As your life progresses, like when you start when you're young, you're like, fuck it, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
we can
exactly.
do whatever I want. That. And then at a certain point, you're like, well, I'm either going to die or I have to actually kind of put some structure behind the chaos so that the outward facing chaos can run smoothly because it can't be actual chaos.
Yeah.
Because that's when
nobody
people start
can live
dying.
In that.
Yeah, you can't. You can't. So, you know, was there, there must have been a certain point where you were like, okay, actually, we do have to start taking care. We have to start, you know, like,
we have to make sure these are washed. And
I remember one time I was working for that Static X came to Hawaii, and like I was like helping put the show. It was like working for Golden Voice, so I was like you know, loading the stuff off their truck and everything like that. And there was a bag, and they're like, "Oh, can you open that bag up?" And it was a big duffel bag. And I opened it up, and it was their rubber suits.
Oof.
And the stench that came out of it knocked me. Like it's just like I fell back. It was like it was like it made me so dizzy. And I was just like, "Do they even wash these things?" And the guy's like, "Yeah, we Febreze them."
Like, that's not washing. Yeah,
that's not washing.
That's just masking the odor.
That's the rug over the cat shit.
Using chemicals to mask the odor.
Now, if you just said scrubbing bubbles, I'd have been like, okay, well, that wash, you know, continues to wash.
Yeah, exactly. But just like,
Jesus. Yeah, it's foul. Well, that rubber and leather, there's a reason that I haven't worn either of those on stage because I mean, there's weirdness that comes out of my body to begin with. I don't need that like clinging to some sort of rubber that you put on yourself and you're just like, I smell like a tire has just been like somebody used it to wipe their ass. Boo.
It's like the Romantics in the early 80s. Remember that band where they probably thought it was real awesome idea. Yeah. Like, oh, we're all wearing these leather...
The pleather, yeah.
These like, leather jumpsuits.
Yeah.
I was in a band when you're stinking in your sleep.
I was in a band. We all had these... We made these homemade, like, just black masks. Not ski masks, but we got, like a you know, like black sweaters and then just, like, made, like, just masks with no... Like, just pinhole eyes. Just in, like, I was, you know, playing drums. And it was, like, a real... You know, real fast band, just blast beats and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like after one song, I was like, I couldn't breathe. And I took it off, and like the other guys were like, put the fucking mask back on. You're ruining it. And I was like, I can't
do it. And then so it's like, you can't make me.
So these real menacing guys up front, and it's just this big fat dorky kid going, rubbing his arms after every fucking 45-second song.
Crushed a cherry.
See you later, Greenville.
I can do that all night, lady.
How many cherries you got?
That's how long I'll last.
Maraschino, Rainier, I'll crush any cherry.
I sent you a bowl. You hope there's some left for me. Jesus.
So you, how long have you been off the booze now?
5 years now.
Nice.
Yeah. I quit. The first time I quit was right around the time we were making Volume 3. And I was sober for about 3 years for then. Then I kind of fell off. And then I was just like, you know what? I don't, you really kind of get your head around it. And you're like, I'm done. Because there'd be like days where I would have like literally one beer. And I don't even like beer. But then you wake up the next day and you're screwed for 3 days after that. You're just like, oh.
Yeah.
And so it was just like, well, physically, I just don't like doing it anymore. So
yeah, you kind of get the choice where you go, well, you can drink all the time. You know what that is.
Yeah.
Or you could have a productive life.
Yeah.
Or I could just do shit. Which I really like to do.
Right.
And it's different kinds of shit.
Yeah.
It's not recovering for 3 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
but
sucks.
You started pretty young though, right?
I was I mean, I started doing drugs before I even started drinking, to be honest. Like I was smoking weed when I was 11. I started doing White Crosses when I was about 12 or 13. By the time I had 14, I was doing coke.
Jesus.
So, yeah, I mean, I was, you know, but that's Iowa, you know? That's Iowa for you. You know, the one of the states that helped invent meth.
Yeah.
Good for us.
Iowa in the 80s.
Yay! Yeah. Yay, we did it!
Yeah, you're good.
We did it! We win, Gracie!
I guess. I wonder, you know, because I led such a sheltered life when I was growing up. It was funny that I ended up becoming a drinker in my 20s because when I was a teenager, I was very much like, you know, guys, I don't need to do drugs to have a good, like, I wouldn't do drugs. I wouldn't drink. I wouldn't do anything. And so how does that happen to an 11-year-old? What are the circumstances?
You just, well, I mean, your friends are doing it, you know, I mean, you know, growing up where I grew up, I mean, you know, we were poor, we didn't have a lot. So, you know, the only thing we really do, I mean, there was no internet. There were still only really three channels if you didn't have cable. So you just kind of ran the neighborhoods a lot, you know, and you got into trouble. I mean, I was a hellion, man. Like I did a lot of we had a habit for about 3 months that we would try to find porta potties and melt them. We would set them on fire to see if we could melt them into like blue lily pads. I swear to God, that's what an 11 or 12 year old kid in my city wanted to do. We just was like, oh, that's really rad.
We just tipped them over. What we did in our... We were straight edge.
Yeah. Well, we were trying to get it to melt complete, like, almost like the Wizard of Oz.
But that's an art project.
Melts.
Well, yeah. We were high.
why? Of course it was a fucking art project. But then, I mean,
beautiful, man.
You know, you start nicking, you know, buds from your parents because, you know, all of our parents did it.
Yeah.
And then that turned into, you know, the older kids, you know, who would be popping speed like crazy. It's like, okay, yeah, we'll do that in skateboard. And yeah, you're just like, ah, let's go on and do it again.
Doesn't hurt.
Right, do it
again.
Doesn't
hurt when you fall.
Yeah. So, I mean, it just one thing leads to another. And honestly, I got off – I started doing speed like a lot quicker because I have a almost an allergy to marijuana, which I didn't know at the time. But it triggers like super bad like panic attacks in me.
Oh, wow.
Like to the point where I'm – gone for like 2 days, like shit. Just I mean really bad. So I, you know, my friends kept smoking weed. I got way more into like the speed section and the hallucinogenics,
yeah.
Which, you know, you haven't lived unless you huffed a whole bottle of Scotch Guard.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. You are from Iowa.
God. I just want the kids listening to know that I don't recommend any of this crap.
How are you alive?
I don't know.
This must have made you a good, I mean, like, when you're dealing with your own 12-year-old, you must be like, don't, I fucking know
right,
all this.
Exactly.
Don't even try.
My son is so, like, he doesn't give a shit about any of that, man. Like, he's just kind of like, okay, yeah. Whatever, you know? I mean, he's, like, he's not even into girls yet, you know, like, or boys. Like, he just hasn't hit that point in his life yet. Now, he just turned 12, so... He's still a little kid. He's still my little guy. But
yeah.
I mean, we just had a conversation the other day about, he asked me, and it was so sweet. He was just like, I need you to get rid of all my little kid underwear. And I was like, why? And he's like, I don't want to get made fun of in gym. You know, because I mean, he's got to change for gym and everything. And I was just like, oh yeah, crap. I didn't even think about that. And I looked at him, made me look at him like a whole different way. I was just like, man's growing up.
Yeah, he's starting to take into account,
yeah,
you know,
it's
like
insane.
Social. So.
So I was like, you'll never see another pair of those. He's like, well, keep a couple for like the weekends. I'm like, well, okay, fine. I want to be sorry, I'm the asshole here. So,
kiddo, your dad wears underoos. What's the problem?
Right, totally. And he's got rad, like, he's got totally rad, like, underoo stuff, you know?
Nice.
Like, I wish they still made underoos. God, I miss. And but the old school, because remember they tried to bring him back and they weren't as cool. I was like, this is horse shit.
Yeah.
The Boba Fett ones were the shit, man. They really were. Remember that? It had the chest plate?
Yep.
And people are like, what's that? It's like, well, then you don't, I'm not going to explain shit to you. Are you kidding me?
I'm the coolest fucking kid in this gym class.
That's right. Y'all wish you knew.
Get me out of this trash can.
That's fine. That's the same reaction I had. Like, it's like, you know, when I would wear a shirt, like I had like a couple of Mystery Science Theater 3000 shirts.
Yes.
You know, and they go, what the fuck is that dumb show? I was like, you don't fucking know.
Dude, I feel sorry
idiot.
For you. Go ahead and beat me up. I'm still going to feel sorry for you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, I like, there's like, you know, we do these live shows and kids are like, how'd you deal with being a nerd? Like being uncool. I was like, I thought it was fucking awesome.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
There's a reason I'm still into the shit that I was into.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Because it was awesome.
Exactly.
No, I tried to rebel against all the things that I liked.
Oh, really?
Because I was just so, there was so much, it was so...
Was it like a responsibility thing? I mean, people expected more from you?
No,
or?
I think it was just, you know, all the stuff that I was into when I was growing up basically kept me just completely...
Ostracized
yeah, from the, you know... And so I wanted to. I didn't want to be ostracized. I wanted to like the stuff I liked, but then also
be accepted,
be cool.
Yeah,
you know, like
yeah,
have people
yeah.
be cool about it. But you know, and so I every time I would try to rebel against my own wants, I would always just fucking
just
fall back in. Like
they pull me back in.
But then at a certain point, you get to a certain age, as you're getting older, you're like, I don't give a fuck anymore.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I like what I like. Suck it.
I think that's why I lucked out being a metal kid. Because we were kind of ostracized to begin with, you know? Mm-hmm. So I could like stupid horror movies. I could like comics and skateboarding and just all this crazy shit because it was like, oh, he's the weird one. Par for the course, you know?
Yeah. I feel the same way about like when I got into punk. It's just like,
yeah,
it's like,
exactly.
You're like in this, you're going to shows outside of high school.
Yeah,
it's like there's a bunch of weirdos there.
Yeah.
And it's
because I was a metal punk kid. So
yeah.
I had friends from all those different kind of walks.
Yeah.
And we were all into the same shit.
Yeah. And I'm sure like in Iowa, it's the same way because, you know, in Hawaii, it's just like the, you know, the, underground music scene is so tiny that like there's a show where there's like a ska band, a punk band, a metal band,
and it makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. And then everyone knew each other and everyone was friends. But yeah, it's neat when I tell people about that. Like they kind of like to say that. Like to some people I know now, it's like, oh yeah, like punk kind of like, you know, saved my life as a kid, and they go, punk, okay, Johnny Rotten. I go, no, you don't.
See, we can't be friends now.
Yeah, exactly.
What you just said was completely stupid.
Yeah.
But see, that's a very European thing, though. I mean, and people don't realize that, where you'll have that many types of bands on one bill.
Yeah.
It's like that in Europe, and that's why the festivals over there smoke hours, because there's so many different bands. Because they don't compartmentalize music the way we do. They just are like, it's great music. Yep. We're going to put these bands on. You'll see Pennywise open up for Slayer, and then Slayer going on right before David Bowie.
Yeah, you know who's doing that now is in Austin, Fun Fest, which I'm performing at like in a few weeks. And it's
shameless
like,
plug.
It's yeah.
Sorry, let me
just call it pretty shameful.
Date you just plugged there.
It was pretty seamless.
It was good.
Right on top.
I loved it.
But like the they've had. You know, they had Slayer and then Weird Al after that. The show this year is like, it's like, you know, there's like Death From Above 1979 and then like Nas doing Illmatic in its entirety.
No shit.
And Judas Priest after that.
But see, that's Austin too. I mean, exactly, it makes sense.
Yeah. But that's like
keeping it weird.
Weird as fuck.
And Gorilla Biscuits, which I'm very excited about.
Oh, no shit.
Never got to see them.
Wow.
One of my favorites.
Yeah, the year that did Al do Fun Fest recently?
It was like 3 years ago, I think.
Because that was that the one that I did?
I believe so. Yeah,
that where it was like it was a comedy night sort of. So Todd Barry and me and then Al and
but
then
Al did the main stage.
He
right?
did the main stage. Yeah, we did the main stage too. We basically opened for him.
Oh shit!
Nice.
And then Apples and Stereo. Like it was just all these really fun,
real eclectic,
silly. And it was so much fun watching like 3,000. Hipsters kind of like drop the hipster facade and lose their shit when Al played like Yoda.
Of course.
So it was a good time.
Definitely.
It was a really good time. Do you know Al?
You know what? Here's my Weird Al story. I've never met him. Huge fan.
Yeah.
I've never met him. But I had a chance to sit next to him at the Grammys and I blew it. And I've only been to the Grammys once. And it was the 1 year that Stone Sour and Slipknot were both nominated. We didn't win, by the way. Slipknot won like the next year, but I decided at that point that I'd had it with this
you just need
corporate
one year
fucking squeeze box bullshit. That's me being hip. But I was like, there was only six people nominated in the best metal performance category. I was just like, well, fuck, we've got. You know, we've got 2/3 of that, or 4/6, whatever. I don't know the math. But where am I win? You know? So I get dressed up, and I hate fucking getting dressed up. And we go, you know, and we sit down. We didn't win, and Metallica won. And ironically, they weren't even there. And I'm like, I can remember 20 years ago when it was a big deal that they didn't win, you know.
Yeah.
Now they just send people to pick up their Grammys. I mean, I'm friends with those guys. It was like a...
St. Anger? Or Death Magnetic?
It would have been Saint Anger. Yeah. So they won for something like that, and you're stoked for them because of what they had to go through. But at the same time, it's like, well, fuck, I'm here.
Yeah,
where the hell are you? So they then shuffle us through this labyrinth of like pipe and drape to get to the real deal. And it's like, okay, we've done our non televised. We're paying our dues. We got to make sure these guys are. Whatever. Now we're going to funnel you into the real show, right? So it's me and all the guys from Stone Sour at the time. And we're just fucking, I mean, okay. You know, I'm freshly sober. We had just finished recording Volume 3.
Oh, shit.
So I'm like freaking out. Like, I'm like, okay. And then we get caught in this like maelstrom right in front of like the red carpet and the step and like repeat, right? But nobody's going anywhere. The only thing I can really like compare it to is that, you know, that spot in the oceans where all the garbage collects.
Oh, the Pacific, like all the garbage island.
You know exactly what I'm talking about. It's like this spinning ball of that's what this was. Like right in front of the Grammys, and we're all just fucking nobody's like, please someone tell us. We're entertainers. We don't know how to do this. So we're just fucking, you know? And I turn, Queen Latifah's right here. And she's, I have a broken toe, and I broke it on recording volume 3. She steps directly on it. And I mean hard. And nothing against her, but it was just like, she couldn't see me because I'm so much shorter than she is. And she's just, and I just went, ah! And I left. I left. I was like, flag, no, I'm leaving this. And I left. So all of Stone Sour went without me. And I got in my car and I went back to my hotel. And I just sat there going, never again, never again. So then I get a call after the Grammys. It's like, by the way, asshole, you could have sat right next to Weird Al Yankovic. And I just went, but I was like, you know what? I made a commitment. I'm never going to the Grammys again. And that's it. And then the next year we won. So I get a call and I'm actually recording the new Stone Sour album, you know? So I'm writing lyrics and they're like, hey, we won. I was like, at the time I just didn't care, you know. Yeah. So that's my Weird Al story.
Metallica in that moment.
Yeah, yeah.
I was just
like, whatever. You know what? I know why they don't go now.
How many people does Queen Latifah have to step on to keep them out of the Grammys? It's just like a stamp of approval.
So angry. Yeah. So ridiculous.
Well, is it so? Now is your feeling? Are you still honoring that commitment? You will still.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay. I'll never go. But we stopped getting nominated, so it's fine, you know. But now the best metal performance looks like a just like they threw fucking darts at it. Because I'm looking at it, going, really?
All right, they got shit. Distortion.
I mean, I was stoked. I was stoked that that Hailstorm won because I'm really good friends with those guys, and I know what kind of work they've put into it. You know, I mean, they came from fucking nothing, and yeah, I was really stoked for them. But yeah, I mean, at this point. There's two schools of thought. There's like, well, we're just going to try and vote for the most obscure Norwegian forest Carpathian black metal fucking band with the illegible font from Sweden. Yes, we're going to give it to you tonight, you know? Or it's like, well, this is, you know, everything that has been played on the radio for the last 5 minutes. And it's like, oh, we're going to fucking celebrate you and blah, blah, blah. And
who votes on those awards? Is it like
old people vote.
It's like a council of white people. Old
I'm
white
convinced
people.
That's the reason we won is because an old person went Slipknot. No, I read a magazine article about them.
They've been around.
Here you go.
Yeah.
Take it.
Yeah, the kids are going to be real happy.
It's fucking, because you look at it and you're like, fucking Judas Priest won one for a live version of a song they released 40 years ago. Yeah. And the live version was released 20 years before that. And they only re-released it because of a box set.
Yeah.
And they gave it to them. I'm like, fucking what?
What does it even mean? Yeah, it doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
But then, I mean, that's like trying to hit a fucking needle with another needle, you know?
Yeah.
It's like you have one metal category. You have one basic rock category.
Yeah.
Then you got bands like Fun winning it. And I'm like, fuck you. Really? Show me on the doll where Fun is a rock band.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. On the wallet.
You can find that in my new book coming out very soon. You actually can.
Did you wrote a book, right?
I did. Yeah. Yeah. I wrote my third one. I just finished, and it's called "You're Making Me Hate You." It's fucking brutal. Yeah. It's it's gonna come out next year. But it's fuck. It's just me basically trashing everyone.
Oh, it's great.
I submitted a subtitle for it because they make me put subtitles on them, and they're like, you're going to get sued for that. And I'm like, well, that's the one I want. And they're like, no, this time we're putting our foot down. You can't use that one. It was basically like, I can't even say it.
Come on.
Get so mad at me.
Come on. We'll beep it out, but I just want to know.
It was, you're making me hate you, or how Justin Bieber sucked a million dicks to make his money. And they wouldn't let me fucking use it.
What?
In this day and age? With an asterisk, obviously. It's like, and then, you know, down at the bottom, obviously, I don't know if it's true, but this is what I believe. They wouldn't let me do it.
Could have been 900,000 dicks, could have been 700,000 dicks. But it is
some...
Look at his face! Anyway. I'll leave it in. Fuck it. I don't give a shit. You know, at this point, they'll just be like, well, maybe we'll use it now.
Yeah. Yeah.
It got some great cute
Market
points.
Research has shown.
You're hot on the streets, Johnny.
What on the street is you sucked a million dicks to get here?
Talk about it.
A million, really?
I could talk like that all day, by the way. I love that. The fix is in, Johnny. Get down the fucking... Get on the floor and make sure they got their money in.
We're Slipknot, see?
Yeah.
Not fast,
see? You
got to
be subjected to some serious shit here.
That's like that great that sketch with Phil Hartman and John Lovitz.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. It's
oh,
like,
yeah.
It's like, you throw. What's the word on the street?
Yeah. Yeah. I get a 100 letters that tell me the same thing. What's the word on the street?
You throw. Is there a chance?
Well, is there any other type of project that you haven't done yet that is so different from everything else that you're doing that you would like to do still?
You know, I did a movie last year called Fear Clinic that's actually being premiered at the LA Scream Fest this year. Which
oh, that's
pretty
nice.
Stoked. Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah. And I realized that it's like as much fun as I had doing that, I kind of honestly would rather be a voice actor, to be honest. Like I really... Because, I mean, a lot of the stuff that I watch is like, really cool animation, you know? And half the voices that are doing those are, like, the professionals, you know?
Yeah.
You've got the stars who are just basically being themselves.
Yeah.
And then you've got a million brilliant voice actors underneath them basically carrying the rest of the movie mm-hmm. for you. And I was like, well, I can do enough, you know, types of voices and add... You know, attitude and character to it and do whatever like that. I mean, I would love to kind of try and do some stuff like that, even if it's just on like whether it's Adult Swim or, you know, just regular shit fucking shows. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I would love to do something like that because it just seems like it would be fun
it
because
is
it's
fun.
Harder. You know, I mean, acting in a movie. You know, you can do the long stunned pauses. Yeah, you can chew the scenery and just. You know, so it's like I'm being very stoic right now. But with voice acting, you know, there's so much more that goes into it. You know, because you have to basically convey all that, but with your voice and make sure that it lines up and links up. And you know, I would just, I guess I'm just being a jerk. I would really just like to work with like John DiMaggio.
Yeah, you know? Did you watch his movie?
I did.
Yeah.
It's fucking fantastic.
It kind of like I was like, because I was like, oh, I won't do voices.
Yeah,
and then I watched
right?
that, and I'm like, oh no.
Yeah.
Like I did a voice for Uncle Grandpa, and then like in the room was Eric Bauza, who's this kid that's just like doing like you know teenage
yeah.
ninja. He's like doing
yeah,
everything.
Yeah.
And I'm like right next to him, and he's just like, I have this one character that kind of yells, and he's doing like five other people.
Right.
And I'm just like, oh. Maybe he should do mine too.
Yeah, DiMaggio. I'm actually recording. I do a show called Sanjay and Craig, which I'm recording today.
Really?
As a matter of fact, and it is really fun.
Yeah.
But it does it. The thing where it could fuck you up is for. Well, I don't know. Maybe your voice is strong enough, but it does. It does. Like,
it takes a lot of time.
It chews your throat up.
Oh yeah.
Really, really.
But
bad.
That's no different than going into recording.
Yeah,
album.
I was gonna say.
Yeah. I mean, especially with. As many different voices that I use in like my different bands and stuff, I mean, it's just about if you can take care of it, you know, mm-hmm. you can do it. And a lot of those guys watching that movie actually made me realize is like they do a lot of the same warm-ups that I do before I even go on stage, you know. So if you can take care of it and get through it, I mean, it's yeah. I mean,
DiMaggio is a fucking
he's a beast.
He is
he's
a,
beast,
he is
yeah.
a He Dude. Is a tropical hurricane yeah. of amazing.
Right? Him and Billy West. I would just love to be in a fucking room with those two
Dude.
And just listen to them just yeah. fucking almost like dueling, you know,
yeah.
like going back and forth.
I did a thing for the Futurama last episode, and Billy and Maurice LaMarche were there. And I couldn't get my fucking phone out fast enough to record it, but Maurice, they did Brain and Stimpy.
Oh,
really?
Shit.
Yes. And
oh,
so like
fuck.
He, so Maurice is like, "What do you want to do tonight, Stimpy?" And he's like, or no, he says, "What do you want to do tonight, Brain?" Like they fucking and they did.
He basically did Stimpy as Pinky, and then Maurice did the brain, and they just and it went on for like a couple minutes, but I couldn't, like, my phone was caught in my pocket. I couldn't get it out.
That's awesome.
I got it, and I got recorded, so they were like, okay, see ya, and then they parted ways. I'm like, god damn it.
That's fucking great.
Do it again.
Please.
Do it again. What do you think the state of horror films is currently?
It's, you know, I'm okay. I love horror movies. I think they need to fucking drop the found footage bullshit.
Right? Yeah.
I'm so tired of it. Yeah. Like, and I'm sure there are some that are good. And there
well, that's
some
the thing. There's always going to be one that, like, you're like, oh, okay, well, that's good.
There's certain movies that, and I can handle it, but I know a lot of people who, they get violently ill. My wife is one of them. Like, so there's a lot of movies that even if I would like to see them, I can't go with my wife, you know? Yeah. And we do shit together. I know that's weird, but, you know, me and my wife, we like to hang out together.
What? That's crazy.
What the hell are you talking about?
But what I don't like with people are doing the found footage, and then they break the form just to suit their needs. Like,
exactly.
I was just watching The Sacrament, the new Ty West one.
I haven't seen it.
It's like them running around with the cameras, them putting the cameras in, like, you know, they're doing a pretty good job, but then, like, all of a sudden a guy starts, like, giving this, like, speech, and there's all these angles.
Yeah,
and
you're
like,
exactly.
Well, don't.
It's I'm sorry, somebody just ran around with a fucking GoPro and made sure that, you know, we knew we were going to be able to cut through these different things.
And that's why, like, Bobcat did, like, a really cool version of the found footage where it's like all the edits are in camera.
Yeah.
And so it's like he's like, his whole thing is like, he always thought, who's the creep that found tapes in the forest? And then I was like, I'm going to edit all this together.
Right.
These people being murdered. And so his whole thing is like, all the edits have to come from the person holding the camera.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's a very underrated director as well.
He's
fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
But yeah, at one end of the spectrum, you've got the found footage stuff. And then at the other end of the spectrum, you have this interesting experiment that Universal is going to try and do with the monsters, you know, they started with Dracula Untold. You know, their plan is to make the Universal monsters, basically, they're trying to build it towards an Avengers-type movie.
Monster Squad remake.
Well...
Does Wolverine got nerds?
I'm not sure that's what they're pushing for.
I'm sure.
From what I've read, this Dracula Untold is the first in the line of that. The next one they're going to do is a Frankenstein-type origin thing, building towards a big, like, Justice League/Avengers-type thing. So, and I haven't seen Dracula Untold. I've heard it's really good, but I've heard it's not very scary. It's just like, it's a fucking action movie. It's like, well,
oh, really?
Yeah. So I don't know. And I love Luke Evans. So, I mean, I'll go see it anyway, but I don't know, man. Like, and the thing with the thing with horror, there's something missing right now. There's a hole in the genre that's missing. And with The Purge came close with that kind of uncomfortable, like, you're being hunted kind of thing, which Purge Anarchy is much better than the first one.
I didn't see that yet.
But there's just something, there's something missing, and I can't put my finger on it.
Well, it's the storytelling, because what they, you know, what's happened is they realize that horror movies are basically, you know, you can crank out high volume, super cheap, and, you know, spending a few million dollars on one movie, it could catch the right weekend, and then, like, boom, $100 million. And so they're just cranking them out without really trying to find really interesting directors' points of view stories. They're more concerned about
how's it going to keep going.
They're more concerned about basically just keeping the genre stacked.
Everybody's looking for the franchise.
Let's find like a really cool.
Well, I enjoyed The Conjuring, and I thought to do
yeah,
like
I did
that.
Too.
I didn't see Annabelle yet.
I haven't either.
But like that's a cool take.
I've heard it's really good.
Yeah, I heard it's really good too. And that, I mean, that's like the fucking fifth series that James Wan, is that his name?
Yeah.
James Wan.
Yeah.
It's like, that's like the fifth movie he's made that's like had another movie made after it.
And I enjoyed the other ones that he did. Not Saw, but Insidious.
Insidious.
I really enjoyed those, you know, because there was thought behind it, and you kind of came to, like, really care about the characters as well.
Yeah.
It's like, you loved Wilson, you loved the family.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's stories suffer, and I think they're not making enough iconic characters either. You're not seeing Jason or Freddy or Michael or,
right.
You know?
And a lot of these, like,
we move into a house and something crazy is happening, you know, because it was an orphanage and all these kids are angry. There's not really like, there's not really like a Chucky or a like,
and the more they try to reboot it, the more they're watering down that whole, that the whole side of that pond.
Yeah. They but focus, they got to focus on stories before scares.
Exactly.
Like, it's like the, all the, it's like, I mean, you want the scares to be good, but the scares aren't going to be good if the story isn't there to support the scares. And it's just like, oh, well, the thing just jumped out.
Yeah.
The the best scary movie I've seen in the last 4 or 5 years was Cabin in the Woods.
Oh, so good.
Fucking genius.
So good.
I thought Your Next was a, like a similar like take on, like, you know, like just like horror, like that genre of just home invasion stuff. You know, Ty West has been doing. I mean, I liked House of the Devil a lot. I loved.
See, here's me. That's queued up in my Netflix thing. I still haven't seen it.
It's good.
So.
It's really, you know, it's like it's a, you know, early 80s.
It looks really dark. It's, I mean,
and it's like it looks great.
Yeah,
the music's good, and like, you know, you got Tom Noonan in there, who was like, I'm a huge Tom Noonan fan.
Yeah, totally.
And then what was the other one he made? Innkeepers with Pat Healy, which is another like it's like a, another really good creepy. You know,
all right, I'll check those two out.
But very much of like, they're very stylistically towards that kind of things are just creepy. Like, you know, you like the characters of, you know, the people, not the villains.
Yeah.
I'm trying
well,
to
what about, you? I mean, what have you seen lately that...
My viewing lately hasn't been really amazing. You know, what's funny is that I'll go to, I'll just go surf iTunes and see like, oh, what horror movies are coming out? And there's just like a glut of movies that if they hit the theater, it was for like a second.
Right?
Yeah. It's like, what the fuck are all these?
Yeah.
You know?
I think that's the future of the horror, though. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to see fewer and fewer horror movies coming out in theaters unless it gets that big push.
Yep.
VOD is the big thing for that.
Yeah. And there's good stuff. I mean, like, I went to Fantastic Fest, and a lot of the movies I saw there are just going straight to VOD, like the new Takashi Miike and the... that guy Yarvo. He's friends with, like, James Gunn and those guys. But he made The Hive. That was that's like pretty cool. It's a pretty cool horror movie, you know. Huh. But yeah, there's like I think it's all gonna just go that way, which is fine. But there's nothing like seeing it in the theater.
Think about it though. VOD is the new video rental place around the corner, you know, because that's where that's where I would see a lot of shit was the video rental place, you know.
The horror sections were always the biggest sections.
Exactly, and they were the ones that had the most faded. Photocopies because they were always like you know in the window and you were constantly taking them out. So I saw a lot of stuff like that. We couldn't afford to go and see them in the movie theater, so I rented a lot of shit, you know. So I think VOD is slowly becoming the new video rental store. You know,
to spend hours in the video store trying to determine the sexual content based on the title and the box. Did we have that conversation on the podcast before?
What was the movie? And it was in every fucking video rental store. It was the one with Alec Baldwin. He's on the cover with no shirt on. It's like Miami Blue or something like that. To this day, I've never seen it, but it just looks so fucking horrible.
Miami Blue? Really familiar. Miami Blue?
And he's holding a gun. You know, he's got the Baldwin face on.
That sounds so fucking familiar.
You know what I'm saying?
There's
like,
so many movies
it was always on the corner.
The box and be like, yeah, I remember that box?
Right? Exactly. It was always on the corner shelf too. Yeah. It's like you'd always be walking. It's like I can't find it. It was up. And there's fucking Miami Blue. Right there.
No one mentioned it.
There's a really good Australian horror movie coming out called Babadook, which is amazingly creepy. Really, really fucking creepy. And it's kind of like there's no gore. There's no real blood or anything like that. It's just like all just fucking like the whole like movie. You're just like constantly. You get exhausted because you like tense up and let go.
Okay, I definitely want to see.
Yeah,
that
look up
then.
The trailer. It's a real creepy. It's basically it's like a haunted pop up book. Then like the scene when the lady's looking through the pop up book.
Yeah.
Is frightening.
Nice.
It's like it's just really well done.
Nice.
Well, I think we're at an hour, Corey Taylor.
Really?
Yeah, this is an hour 10. Can you believe that? It just flew by.
We just got started.
I know. This
really? I don't want to go to work.
This took longer than your flight from Vegas.
Yeah, I know. Well, this was worth it.
I'm so glad that we were able to get you on. And, you know, there was a minute where they're like, oh, his flight's going to be. And he was like, and you said, no, I'm coming in. Want to make this happen?
Yeah, I switched my flight 2 hours early.
So I appreciate that.
Dude, you have no idea.
I admire that. I admire that moxie from a guest on the show.
Yeah. You got a lot of spunk there.
You got a lot of spunk there, kid.
Yeah, thank you very much. We got to do this again, see?
Sweet gams there. Oh, wait. I mean, I shouldn't have said it that way.
Yeah, well, hey, you know what? I do work my leg.
Do squats, lunges, squat thrusts.
I don't want to brag. I know my way around it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Anyway. Now it's weird.
Pull the shirts off there.
Yeah.
Well, I crush a cherry.
Yes.
I'm going to go to the... What you're going to do is go to the gym and crush a cherry.
Oh, Christ.
Corey Taylor. Oh, to promote something. When's that? Okay. When's that fest?
God, I got nothing. October 21st, new Slipknot album, Point Five, The Great Chapter, drops. October 24th, 25th, Knot Fest at San Bernardino. And then 2 days after that, the Prepare for Hell tour, which we're doing with Korn, starts to move across America and leave a weird snail trail of evil.
Great.
And that's about, well, and then next year, the movie I'm in, Fear Clinic, comes out, I think, in February. And then my new book, You're Making Me Hate You, Justin Bieber Dicks.
Hashtag Justin Bieber Dicks.
I'm so getting fucking sued. It's awesome. That comes out, I think, in June. So, cool. Yeah. So, excellent. Yeah. Thanks for having me. This is a blast.
Thank
well, thank you.
On, man. It was good hanging out with you. Yeah,
I wore my really nice Iron Man shirt.
Yeah. Iron Man shirt.
Not only Iron Man, but Iron Man versus Dr. Doom.
Oh.
Which we'll never fucking see.
Mental on mental. But maybe a Civil War. Maybe Cap
Fingers
Iron
crossed.
Man.
Fingers crossed.
We'll see how that works out
we'll see.
2016.
Yeah. As I sit here and spin my plate.
Come on, guys. What are we supposed to do?
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
I feel like I was blindsided.
Because it's a competition show.
From the producers of Jury Duty and The Bachelor.
We have scoured the earth for the 14 greatest reality contestants that were available during our production window.
Comes a reality competition show about reality competition shows.
Nobody has dared to find out who is the actual best at just being on a reality show. I'm your host, comedian Daniel Tosh.
Is win or go home.
Each episode, our contestants will face new challenges that will test their strength and lack of life skills for a chance to win $200
million.
$200,000.
Prepare, because it's about to be ugly crying.
Lots of fighting.
Tayshia, I have to defend myself.
Celebrating 25 years of reality TV with your favorites.
I have diarrhea. You cannot do this to me.
What in gay hell have I got myself into?
The GOAT, premiering on Freevee and Prime Video on May 9th.